Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome. Nice to have you here. This shiur is officially part by our shul and Shai Tzvil, and partially in conjunction with the Halacha Hotline and the Five Towns and Parakwe Halacha Hotline. So we thank Rabbi Shanek for arranging that. We're going to talk about B'dikas Chametz tonight, hopefully Halacha L'maisa, but we're going to start with a general understanding of the mechanics of B'dikas Chametz. And in that context, we'll be able to appreciate more specifically the Halacha L'maisa. I'm hoping that we'll have time at the end for open questions about scenarios that might be coming up in terms of specific situations. But let me just outline a number of the scenarios that hopefully we'll address through the discussion this evening. First of all, we had a situation in my house last week where we noticed that there was water coming from underneath the refrigerator. And we had the repair person come and look, and he said, well, somebody must have moved the refrigerator. And we said, yeah, we moved it because we were cleaning for Pesach and there was stuff behind it. And the repair person says, well, don't you realize that the coils in the back are not supposed to be moved? And if you move it, of course it's going to leak. So what's the halacha about moving your refrigerator to prevent water pooling in your kitchen and to get rid of chametz? Second issue is, I remember my parents had a brake front. We don't have a brake front in our new house, but my parents had a brake front in the dining room. And underneath the brake front, which was hard to get my fingers in, but there were always a few crumbs that wandered over the course of the year, some crumbs that got swept or underneath the brake front in the dining room. How hard do we have to work to get those crumbs out of the brake front, out of underneath that little inch or so of finger space to reach to the crumbs that might be there? Those of you who have minivans will appreciate the following. If you have the seats that are removable, that fold in, fold out, so you know the sockets where those seats click in? Well, I don't know what your minivan looks like, but if you've seen my minivan, you'll notice that there are many, many, many varieties and flavors of cookies and pretzels and whatever you might ever imagine that are chametz gomer, according to every shita, in those sockets where those benches click in. So how hard do you have to work to get the chametz out of those sockets? Do you have to check bathrooms in general? What about if you have crumbs in a toaster, different kinds of toasters? Sometimes you have the toaster oven, sometimes you have the toaster with the, you press it down. What are we going to do with the crumbs in there? In both of those versions, if you have a bread machine, sometimes on the bottom you might notice it's very hard to get down to the bottom of the bread machine where the machine sort of makes its has its churning piece. What's the status with the chametz over there? What happens? The shaila used to be, we spoke about it to Mincha Ma'ariv, the shaila used to be only by Svarim, but now I think the shaila of Svarim is equally applicable to laptops and keyboards. If you're like me and you eat lots of meals over your computer, so invariably there are crumbs that fall in. I don't know if that's good for the laptop or the keyboard or not, but Lemaisa, we all have lots of crumbs in our laptops and keyboards, so what is the way to deal with that? Do we have to deal with that? These are among the questions that I'd like to address this evening in the context of understanding B'dikas Chametz. So to start off with the first line in the Masechtas Pesachim, the first line says that Bo'ol Kenas Chametz, you have to do B'dikas Chametz. Rashi says, why do you have to do B'dikas Chametz? Shelo yavor bal yiro bal yimatze, because you can't own chametz. Rashi is telling us something very deep, though. When Rashi says shelo yavor bal yiro bal yimatze, that means Rashi is telling you that the reason why you have to check to make sure you're getting rid of your chametz is because if you don't, you're going to violate bal yiro bal yimatze, and if you do get rid of your chametz, you're not going to violate bal yiro bal yimatze. Let me take that a step further. What does the Torah say about chametz? It says lots of things. Among them is lo yimatze lecha, shall not be found. What does the word found mean? Found only works. The word found only makes sense if it's something that you were looking for. When you look for something, then it's possible to find it. Not in the context of looking for it, the word found doesn't really make sense. This point, says the Mesha Chachma, might be a hint that the bedikas chametz could be deoraisa. Because if the pasuk says lo yimatze, that means you were looking for it, and you have to make sure that after you look for it, it is no longer found. That, says the Mesha Chachma, might be the deeper pshat in this Rashi, the first Rashi on the Masechta, that says the point of Badikas Chametz is so you don't violate Bayra Bayimatze, meaning you're supposed to be looking for it. If you find it, you took care of it. If you didn't find it, well, if you didn't find any chametz, you took care of your bedikas, you took care of your, the isra ba'yura ba'yimatzeh, because you did a search, and it was lo yimatzeh, as the Torah requires. So according to this understanding, bedikas chametz is going to be a chiyuv midaraisa, a chiyuv midaraisa that emanates from lo yimatzeh lecha chametz. Now, we know that regarding chametz, it's not just bedika that's important to know about. There's also bittul. What's the story of bittul? The story of bittul is very applicable nowadays. I'll just fast forward what the Mishnah is talking about. Mishnah min tesam and alafim psachim, but I'll just make it in real life. Let's say there's a fellow in the army, in Eretz Yisrael, as a chayal, and he doesn't have off the week before Pesach. So he left an apartment. He thought he was going to have vacations. He thought he was going to be able to go back home and take care of his apartment, take care of his house. And lo and behold, the commander says, this week you can't go home, we need you on base. So, he's not going to be able to check for chametz. So what is he going to do? He's going to violate only chametz on Pesach. That's the case of the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, somebody is going to do whatever he has to do, and he remembers he has chametz in his house, so ideally he has to go back and destroy his chametz. And v'imlav mevatlo belibo, he has to do bittul in his heart. He has to, in his heart, declare that the chametz either doesn't belong to him or he doesn't care about it, whatever bittul chametz might mean, which is not the topic of our shir. Well, Tosus asks a very simple question. If you have to do bittul chametz, and if bittul chametz, so let's say this chayal on the base, he's going to do a bittul chametz, he'll say, I don't care about that chametz anymore. I'm mafkir that chametz. Therefore, he's not going to be violating owning chametz. So if he doesn't own chametz anymore, so he's not violating. So what's the point of doing bedikas chametz? If we said 2 minutes ago, the whole point of doing bedikas chametz is shalo yavar ba'yirad ba'yimatzeh, well, now that he is doing a bittul to take care of ba'yirad ba'yimatzeh, but he already took care, if he does a bittul chametz, that took care of whatever the issue might be, a violation of ba'yirad ba'yimatzeh. So what's the need to do a bedikas chametz? That's Tosos, the first Tosos' question in the Masechta. So there's an important perspective. If I were to ask you, I own chametz. If I keep it, I'm in big trouble on Pesach. So what does the Torah want me to do to get rid of it? How does the Torah want me, but without any derabbanans, just me d'oraisa, what do I have to do to get rid of my chametz on a d'oraisa level? Do I have to do bedika, or do I have to do bittul chametz? That's the question I'd like to ask. So, usually, there are four possibilities to two sides. It's either A, or B, or both, or neither. In this question, it's none of the above. None of those four. It's not both. You don't have to do both bedika and bittul. It's not bedika that's d'oraisa, nor is it bittul that's d'oraisa, nor is it none of the above. But, says the Ran, the reason why you have to do bedika and bittul is because whatever you do first will be your chiyuv d'oraisa. If you happen to do bittul first, that fulfilled your obligation d'oraisa to get rid of your chametz. If you did bedika first, well, checking for chametz and getting rid of it, that fulfilled your obligation midaraisa. That's what the Ran says. Now that answers Tosus's question, because Tosus's question a minute ago was, if I do bittul to get rid of my chametz, why do I have to do bedika? The answer is, you're right, on a d'oraisa level, you don't have to. It's only going to be d'rabbanan. Well, why would it be an issur d'rabbanan if I did bedikas chametz? Let's say the other way. If I did a bittul chametz and I relinquished all of my ownership, saying I don't want this chametz, I don't own this chametz, I'm mafkir, I'm making it ownerless, so if I don't have any connection to the chametz, so why would I still need to do bedikas chametz? To that, Tosus answers that we're concerned about something. We're concerned about something that's unique from all other things in the world. Let's say I have in my house a hamster. And my hamster eats worms. Are worms kosher? Certainly not. Where are they sitting? They're sitting on my desk right next to the hamster cage. Let's say I have fish, goldfish, and they eat seahorses, which are not kosher. Where are they sitting? They're sitting on my dresser next to the goldfish bowl. Are they kosher? Absolutely not. What do I do about it? Nothing at all. I leave them there. Yet, says Tosfos, when it comes to chametz, Chachamim made a special takana they were worried, Shema Yochal, you might come to eat it. In other words, what I'm saying is that even though by doing your bitul chametz, by saying I don't want this chametz, I declared ownerless, I'm being mafkarit, you're right, it's not yours, and you're not going to violate owning it. But what are we worried about? You might come to eat it. What do you mean? Why am I worried that you might come to eat it? I'm not worried that you're going to come to eat the seahorses for the goldfish. I'm not worried that you're going to come to eat the worms that the hamster eats. And why am I, those are both non-kosher items, and why am I, yes, worried that you're going to come to eat chametz? So Tosa says, because all year long, lo bedili mine, we don't separate ourselves, we eat chametz all year long. I'll tell you a story. A few years ago, actually a lot of years ago, I grew up on Avenue J, those of you who know Avenue J, I grew in the residential section a few blocks away from the commercial area where all the stores are. And it was Erev Pesach in the morning, and there was a certain, it's called David's Supermarket, if you know, the corner of 16th and Avenue J, right near the train station. There was a David's Supermarket, it's no longer there. But every day when I would come home from school, I'd walk past David's Supermarket, and every day I'd buy the 25 cents Drake's four cookies, either chocolate chip, lemon, coconut, or I don't remember, there was a third flavor. 25 cents, four cookies in a little package, every day on the way home from school. That was my snack. Erev Pesach, my mother asks me, Uri, go to the store, I didn't buy enough romaine lettuce, get me another head or two heads of romaine lettuce. So I go to the store, and I pick up the romaine lettuce in my hand, walking home, and lo and behold, what am I passing? I pass Dave's Supermarket. So naturally and instinctively, my zoning mechanism focuses straight, I turn and make a left, or go straight into David's Supermarket, go bend down, take my cookies like I do whenever I pass the store, I give the man 25 cents, I open the bag, and I start eating. And then I remember, oh my goodness gracious, it's 10:45, Erev Pesach. This is usher. But why did I do that? How come I didn't do that with, you know, the pork and beans, the Campbell's pork and beans just a few shelves over? That's what Tosa says. Tosa says that there's a difference between chametz and all other non-kosher foods. All other non-kosher foods like worms and like the seahorses and like the pork and beans, you never have all year long. So therefore, you're never going to mistake yourself to come to eat it mistakenly. As opposed to things that you're accustomed to eating regularly. Every day I bought my Drake's cookies. And therefore, I might make a mistake now that it's Erev Pesach or Pesach. I might make a mistake. Come to eat that which I never do. That's what Tosa says is why. Specifically for this prohibition of chametz, we're worried about an added concern, not just not owning it, but an iser derabban and above the iser deraisa bal yirah, to not eat it because I might otherwise come to eat it, like I do the rest of the year. The second suggestion that Tosa says that differentiates chametz from all the other things that are not kosher in the Torah is that chametz is more severe. Not just is it a kares, it's a stronger, more severe punishment if one does eat chametz, but it's also something that the Torah itself set up precautions for. Even though there are other things, chaylev, for example, prohibited fats, that's chiyuv kares, yet I could have in my dining room or kitchen a whole tub of chaylev that I know my maid uses when she cooks her things, but I don't use, that's mutter. But if I have chametz, that says toast is not just the fact that it's kares, that it's because chametz is kares and chaylev is also kares. Says Tosos, we're worried that there's also the Torah itself built in a safety net, a safety precaution specifically by chametz and not by other things. And that is the fact that the Torah is worried about bal yirah, bal yimatzeh, that we don't have a concern of by all other isurei achila, prohibited foods. And these two things show us that chametz is a little more severe, and that's why it's not enough to not own chametz, to get rid of the physical entity of the chametz in your house and in your possession, but you also have to safeguard yourself with a wall, with a partition, with a mechitza, and do or get rid of it physically, that it's not going to be present in your house, and therefore you have to do bedika, not just a bittel. And those are the two reasons. That's the first reason why, even though I did a bedika and I took care of my chiyuv d'oraisa of bal yirah, I still have to check because Tosis is saying we're worried that I might come to eat it. And there's another answer that's offered that the Ran suggests is that maybe, what are we doing when I say that I'm mevatel my chametz? I don't want my chametz. 2 weeks ago, I went on a flight, and they're duty free. And I bought myself a $130 bottle of Johnnie Walker Blue. And I was so excited And I've been waiting for this flight for months because I can't afford it at the liquor store down the block because of all the taxes. Now that I had my flight, I was able to buy it without VAT, without any taxes, and I was, Baruch Hashem, able to come home with a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue in seventh heaven. And 2 weeks later, Erev Pesach, I'm going to say, I don't care about this chametz, let it be hefker. Who are you fooling? Come on. You love that stuff. You love that. You wait for Shabbos afternoon after the gefilte fish to have that little sip of Johnny Walker, just a little bit, because it's so expensive. A little sip, you're going to have it a whole year, it's going to last you. And then Erev Pesach is saying, oh, batel, hefker, I don't like it. It should be like the dirt of the earth. Come on. Who are you kidding? That's what the Ran says. The Ran says if all we would have would be bitel chametz, then people might not be serious about it. Once you leave things to people's minds, it's a very dangerous thing. Once you leave halacha to live only in the arena of thought, it's very dangerous. Halacha has to be in the area of life, in the physical realm. If we just leave things to thought, sometimes people will think like this, will think like that, and we can't just leave it to thought, says Ran. Therefore, we're worried that bittul alone might not suffice. We also have to get rid of the chametz physically. But I want to focus for one moment on the first point that we mentioned just 2 minutes ago, because that will bring us to a lot of halacha l'maisa applications in regard to our cleaning for chametz or cleaning for Pesach. And that is that Tosus told us that mida raisa, once I did a bedika, I took care, I'm sorry, once I did a bittul chametz and I said, I'm here by mevatel, I don't want, I'm not interested, I make hefker, make ownerless all of my chametz, I'm not going to violate the prohibition of owning chametz. And nevertheless, Tosas says, I still have to take the next step and do what? And do a bedika. Why? Tosas says, because you might come to eat it. Because chametz is different. It's more chomer. You're used to it. You might come to eat the chametz. Wait a second. That means, why am I doing bedikas chametz? I'm doing bedikas chametz because I might come, if I did bittul, which we all do, you and I will all be doing bittul. In fact, we'll do it twice. We'll do it after the bedika, the night before Pesach, we'll do it again when we burn the chametz in the morning. So we took care of our chiyuv d'oraisa to get rid of our chametz, and the only reason why we're doing bedikas chametz is for what? So I don't come to eat it. That's going to be very important, because that means that if we find scenarios where we're not worried that you're going to come to eat it, there won't be a chiyuv to do bedikas chametz in those scenarios. What will those be? We'll see in just a few minutes what those scenarios will be. Before we get to those scenarios where we're not worried that you're going to come to eat it and therefore you don't have to check for them at all, let's talk about crumbs. Do you have to check your house for crumbs or do you only have to check your house for donuts? Obviously, there's an infinite number of sizes between crumbs and donuts. There are Cheerios, there are Tam Tams, there are garlic knots, and v'chahena v'chahena. So at which point do we have to be worried? So says the Mishnah in Beitza, says Gemara Beitza Dav Zayin, that we have a machlokas regarding the ownership, the prohibition of owning chametz. Machlokas Beishamai Beisil. Beishamai says that chametz, the violation of chametz is the size of a koseves, the size of a date, a large date. Says Beis Hillel, no, chametz, owning chametz, not eating chametz. The owning of chametz is violation with a kezias. Which means, we of course pass like Beis Hillel, that owning chametz is aser d'oraisa, I only violate owning chametz ba'yura ba'yamatze if I own a kezias, the size of an olive. That means that if I have anything less than a kezias, the size of an olive, that's not a violation of ba'yura ba'yamatze of owning chametz. Which means that if we stop here, all I should ever have to check for bedikas chametz is pieces of chametz the size of a kezias. That means, do you have to check for crumbs? Do you have to check for Cheerios? Do you have to check for Wheaty Flakes? Do you have to check for pretzels? Most pretzels, yeah, the long rods, those are definitely bigger than a kezias. But the little crossed arms, the little twists, or even the little mini sticks, those aren't a kezias, and therefore they could be scattered all over your house. Each one is less than a kezias. Hey, each piece is less than a kezias. Maybe that's okay. Unless you'll say, no. But all together, if you sweep them all up from your entire house, it's going to gather up to be a kezias. That is a problem. Okay, that's something that we could reckon with. We'll have to discuss that shortly. But there's another discussion that we have to be worried about. Because even though we just said that Midah Araisa, we're only worried with the Kazayas, we know that whenever we discuss things that relate to measurements in the Torah, there's always a big machlokas that we have to keep in our mind. And that is, what happens when I have less than the amount that the Torah proscribes, that the Torah prohibits? Chatzi shir, asur min ha-Torah, or not asur min ha-Torah? In other words, if the Torah says you're not allowed to eat, let's say, a kazayas of pork. So if I eat half a kazayas of pork, is that prohibited or not? Well, it's machlokas. Is it prohibited on a Doraisa level or not? It's machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish. We paskin, like Rabbi Yochanan, that chatzi shir is asur from the Torah. And therefore, what should come out? If chatzi shir is asur from the Torah, that means even if we say that I only violate only chametz if I have a kazayas, this size of an olive, to violate Bal Yirah, but even if I have less, even if there will be less than that, it will be still chatzi shir, should still be asur from the Torah. It will still be an isur daraisa to have that minimal, that smaller amount, that cheerio, that weedy flake. That's chatzi shir. It's less than the size of a kazayas, and it should still presumably be asur because of chatzi shir. This question, which I might speak about on Shabbos HaGadol, is a fascinating question because, wait a second, maybe we only apply this rule of chatzi shir asur min ha-Torah to isurei achila, foods that are prohibited. Here, we're not talking about food that's prohibited. Here, we're talking about owning chametz. So it could be if I eat half a piece of pork, half a kazayas of pork, we're worried I might eat another half a kazayas of pork. So therefore, I can't even have that first piece of pork, that first bite. However, that might only be by foods. But by owning chametz, if I only have half a kazayas of chametz in my ownership, a small Cheerio in my ownership or a small pretzel in my ownership, that can't be mitztarif. That's not a food item in terms of eating. It's food. But we're not talking about a prohibition of eating it. We're talking about a prohibition of owning it. Maybe the rules of chatzi shir asur min ha-Torah only apply to eating foods, not owning, in this case, the chametz. And therefore, there's a gigantic discussion among the Rishonim and the Achronim whether we apply chatzi shir asur midoraisa to chametz. Let's bring it just halacha l'maisa. Even if we assume, some say that it is asur midoraisa to have a small amount, less than a kazayas. Others say it's not asur midoraisa, but it's still going to be asur d'rabbanan. So everybody agrees that we do have to clear our houses, both of the chametz that's a kazayas, owning that will unquestionably violate an isur d'oraisa, and everyone also agrees that I also have to clear my house of the smaller pieces than a kazayas. Maybe d'oraisa, maybe d'rabbanan, that's subject to question, but everybody agrees that I do have to clear it up. The problem is that we know from an explicit Gemara that crumbs don't matter. So right now I'm in a bind. I just told you that everybody agrees that if you have chametz, if it's a kazayas, of course it's asur d'oraisa, all agree. And even if it's less than a kazayas, we're still worried about it. Maybe d'oraisa, maybe d'rabbanan, but wait a second, the Gemara tells us, clearly, the Gemara says, the Gemara asks, why do you have to do bedikas chametz if you already did bitul chametz? And the Gemara says, maybe it's because we're worried about the crumbs, because you missed the crumbs. And what does the Gemara answer? Nah, crumbs are automatically batel. Pirurim are automatically batel. Pirurim are batel me'elehem. We're not worried about crumbs. Crumbs are nothing to worry about. You're never going to violate anything if you have crumbs. Wait a second. So the Gemara is telling me that crumbs I don't have to be worried about. But just a minute ago I said that less than a shear, less than a kazayas, we are concerned with. So I don't understand. Crumbs I'm not worried about, but less than a kazayas, we just said that everybody agrees you do have to clean up. Yet the Gemara is saying, I don't have to clean it because it's only a crumb. So right now, we have a little bit of a contradiction. So many of the Achronim suggest, Moshe Feinstein, for example, said that it really depends how big the crumbs are. There's something called a crumb, and there's something called a pretzel. Both are less than a kazayas. Is a pretzel significant? Yes, it is. Is a Cheerio significant? Okay, maybe yes. But a crumb is meaningless. And therefore, Ramosha says and others suggest that even though chatzi shir does less than a kazayas is required to be taken care of to eradicate on Pesach, whether it's Doraisa or Darabana, but that's only if it's it has some significant size. Less than a kazayah is true, but it still is a Cheerio. It's a whole Wheaty Flake, I don't know, but definitely a Cheerio, a pretzel. But if it's just a crumb, then we're not going to be worried about it. You're saying that's a very difficult thing to say, because where are you going to draw the line, right?
I just say Bria Bifnei Atzma on a Cheerio.
Oh, Bria Bifnei Atzma, okay. I don't think we apply the rule here, but I like the application. So, what? So apparently, that's going to be the point. That's going to be exactly the point. Tosafot says that our concern with chametz is that you might come to eat it. So even after you did bittul and you don't own it anymore, we're still worried you might come to eat it. What are we worried that you're going to eat? Apparently, the Gemara is telling me that if it's just the crumb, you're not going to eat a crumb. And therefore, you don't have to do bedika, you don't have to clean up for a crumb. A Cheerio, you might eat. A pretzel, I'll definitely eat. And then I will be over on eating chametz, which is b'mashu, which is... Right. So let's just take these points and then come with a very important halacha maisa. Come next Thursday night, we're going to put out minigiz, that we put out 10 little pieces of bread. So how big should those pieces be? Well, if we have the pieces that they're larger than the size of an olive, then we could be in trouble, because what happens if I don't find one? It did happen to me once. One time, but 8 years ago. 8 years ago? It was a while ago, at least eight, nine years ago. We put out 10 pieces of chametz, and I couldn't find the 10th. It was very frightening. Very frightening. And there's a whole machlokas, what to do in such a case. You keep on checking and how to deal with that. But let's say those pieces, let's say that could happen, which we're always worried about. It could happen. I saw a fascinating story. I think from the Stipler, that the Stipler had the custom that he would put them out himself and he would search for them himself. Right? I grew up that my father and I would go to shul, and while I would go to the shul, my mother would, you know, it's sort of like the tooth fairy. While you go to sleep, the tooth fairy puts the dollar underneath your pillow. So same thing, we would go to shul and the chametz fairy would disperse the chametz throughout the house. We'd come home, poof, all the cleaned house full of chametz all over the place. My mother's the chametz fairy. So the Stipler didn't do that. The Stipler, he put the chametz around the house himself, and he checked himself. But you know what he said? He said, it's okay. We're not worried that, the whole point of we put the chametz, there's chametz that we don't want it to be a bracha levatala, so that's why you want to make sure you find something. But what do you mean? He knows where you put it. He said, this is at his older years, he says, at my age, with my memory, by the time I go to shul and come back, I'm not going to remember where they all are, so it's okay. It's not going to be a bracha levatala. I've forgotten at least one of the places. Okay, that was. If he didn't have a good memory, then I just imagine what we have. So how big should these pieces be? It's very important to make sure that they're less than a kazayas. They're less than the size of an olive. Because if they're the size of an olive and you leave it over somewhere, then you clearly, according to all definitions, are going to violate an issa d'oraisa of owning chametz. If, however, those pieces will be small enough, they'll be less than a kazayas, then at worst you'll violate a chatzi shir, which might be d'rabbanan, might be d'oraisa, at worst will be a chatzi shir, which is much less severe. So that's just an important thing to keep in mind. While we're talking about the 10 pieces, you have to be careful that the minhag that we have to put out 10 pieces shouldn't actually come to haunt us. Because the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes that sometimes when we put out 10 pieces, I think there's a lot of people are have this issue, that you put out the 10 pieces, or whoever in the family puts out the 10 pieces of chametz, and then whoever else does the check, they go from room to room with the goal of looking for 10 pieces of chametz, which is not the goal of Bedikas Chametz. The goal of Bedikas Chametz is to search your house for chametz, and while you're doing that, hopefully you'll end up with those 10 pieces of chametz. But it's very important. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has very strong words. He says that if a person just looks for the 10 pieces without actually checking his house, it might be a bracha levatala, which is funny, because they put out why do you put out 10 pieces? Because you want to make sure that you're going to find something. You don't want to make a bracha. I'm going to check for chametz, and here I'm going to not find anything, so it might be a bracha levatala, a bracha for no reason, because I didn't find anything, so let me put out 10 pieces. I'll definitely find something. But what might somebody do? That might cause them to not really check their house for chametz. They're just going to look for those 10 pieces, but they're not really cleaning their house. They're just looking for those pieces. They're not doing a job of, you know, eradicating the chametz from their drawers and their pockets, which we'll talk about hopefully soon. And they'll end up being that they didn't do bedikas chametz. So they found 10 pieces of chametz, but they didn't check their house for chametz, which says the kiss of Shulchan Aruch is a bracha vatal in itself. So that's just something very important to keep in mind as we set up our house for finding those. You're right. That's why Meikar Hadin, even if you didn't find anything, we assume you don't. Meikar Hadin, you don't have to put out the 10 pieces. But the source where people, that for the minhag, why people do put out, is out of concern that maybe there are other ways to understand that you actually do have to find something. That's a machlokas achronim. Now, let's talk about a very important, very, very, very important, perhaps the most important leniency of the evening. And that is, we said that if it's a kazayas, owning that is also daraisa. If it's a Cheerio, I have to clean my house, make sure there are no Cheerios, make sure there are no small pretzels around either. But crumbs, we're not worried about. Now, it's not really true that we're not worried about crumbs. Crumbs, midrabanan, the achronim do say you do have to get rid of your crumbs. You do have to get rid of your crumbs. And they bring a proof. Because on Erev Pesach, that falls out on Shabbos, which is not this year, but it's always an exciting topic for Rabbanim to talk about. Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch says, what do you do with the crumbs? You can't burn them, the crumbs from your lunch. You had lunch in the morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, you had an early lunch, you had lunch, you have a tablecloth, it's full of chametz crumbs. You can't burn it, you can't sell it to a guy, you can't do mechiras on Shabbos, presumably. So what are you going to do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, you have to shake off the tablecloth. Why? They're crumbs. Why do you have to shake off the tablecloth? They're crumbs. If crumbs are just batel me'elehim, are just automatically invalidated or automatically meaningless, why should you have to shake off the tablecloth? So the Achronim see from the Shulchan Aruch that even crumbs, we are concerned with. The following very important kula applies to crumbs. And that is a kula that's cited in the Beis Yosef, quoting the Sefer Yerayim. He says that if there's a tartil reyesa, a double whammy, then you don't have to check for it at all. What's a double whammy? Something is a crumb, and it's dirty. Dirty is metunaf, metunaf ktsas. Something has a double whammy, it's a crumb, and it's dirty, then you don't even have to check for it, you don't have to clean it, you can leave it right there. Why? And this is going to bring us back to what we started with 20 minutes ago. What's the whole reason? I do a bittel, you do a bittel, we all do a bittel, so we don't violate owning chametz, because we did a bittel chametz, we disassociated, we relinquished ownership of the chametz. So why do I have to do a bedikah? Because I might come to eat it. Well, if it's a little piece, and it's dirty, you ain't going to eat that. And therefore, there's no need to do a bedikah at all whatsoever. There's no chiv to do a bedikah's chametz for crumbs that are dirty. What does that mean? That means any crumb on the floor of your house does not have to be cleaned for Pesach. You could come into Pesach with crumbs on the floor of your house. Oh my goodness gracious, you're never going to come to my house. But that's the halacha l'maisa. Any crumb or situation where crumbs either are dirty or will easily get dirty, I think the Mishnah Berurah points out, will automatically be permitted to be eaten on Pesach. You know one of the things that all the Pesach books tell you? In big letters, you vacuum all the carpets before Pesach, right? To get all the crumbs up. And make sure you empty out your vacuum cleaner bag before Pesach, right? It's full of crumbs, right? No. They're crumbs and they're dirty. Leave them there. Why waste a good vacuum cleaner bag? Vacuum cleaner bags are expensive. This only applies, of course, if it's less than a kazayas. Yes. If you're going to have a kazayas, this leniency of being dirty is not going to help you. But if you know that there's just a few crumbs here or there, they're all crumbs, they're less than a kazayas, they're definitely dirty because they're in the vacuum cleaner bag, so you do not even have to empty your vacuum cleaner bag that has crumbs in it, not a kazayas is worth. But that's full of crumbs, just less than a kazayas, they're all dirty, you could leave your vacuum cleaner bag, you could have, so let's just go very quickly to that situation in the crevices of your the car. Not just the crevices, but all along the carpet, right? What happens is you have a cookie or a cracker, and the next person comes in, and they step on it, and it's a shmush of crumbs all over the car. So now you have people running the vacuum cleaner, the high duty vac. So we lived in Washington Heights. You know, now we're in the suburbs, but we used to live in the city, the inner city, and we'd go to the corner. What's it called? We didn't have car cleaning services. Like, you know, here you have yeshiva boys cleaning your cars for you for $30. No such thing like that in Washington Heights. So you take it to the gas station, you put in, I'd always go with rolls of quarters. 25 cents, you get 3 minutes of vacuum cleaning, you rub, get all the crumbs out, I try to get as much crumbs as you could get for the 3 minutes that you get, so you don't have to use more quarters. And that's all absolutely unnecessary, except in my car. My car, I have a kazayas, I have many kazayases. But in assuming that you just have less than a kazayas, and a little crumb in your dining room, in your living room, you have some crumbs on the floor. That's no problem. What? Dirty kazayas is going to be an issa daraisa. It's going to be an issa daraisa. Bal yirah bal yimatze. Because in order to be invalid, to be taken out of the realm of bal yirah bal yimatze, it has to be nifsal me'achilas kelav, that even a dog wouldn't eat it. Even if it's dirty. Even if you wouldn't eat it, that's not sufficient. It has to be bad enough that a dog wouldn't eat it. Crumbs, as long as, remember, there's no bal yirah bal yimatze on crumbs. So what is there? A chiyuv bedika. Why do you have to do a chiyuv bedika? That you won't come to eat it. But you're not going to eat it. It's tiny and it's dirty. That's the answer. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So inside the minivan where there's a collective amount of crumbs between the front and the back, that all might add up to be a kazayas, and that might be of concern. Yes, that might be. It's like one, the person talks about something in one kli. The car might be one kli, and a kazayas scattered throughout the whole car, which I definitely have many kazayasim, could, yes, be a problem.
So is it inside of a house, is it each room?
Inside of a house, the poskim do say you should sweep the floors. I'm not sure if it would be each room or the whole house, I'm not sure. Let's just also talk about that other case I taught you. I told you about in my parents' house under the brake front in the dining room. So I have to stick in. I used to lie on the floor, take a stick, like the broom handle, stick it under the brake front, push out, because that's the only thing that could reach, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 inches back, 10 inches back, and under this very low bottom brake front, and push out the chametz. I don't have to do that. Because the chametz, it's crumbs that are on the floor. No problem. I could leave it there. However, one thing that you do have to be aware of is that if you have crumbs in a toaster, for example, there you could have, first of all, you could have a kazayas. And even if you don't have a kazayas, it's not really dirty. If you have crumbs in a fridge, sometimes people keep stuff in their refrigerators, in their freezers. So, for example, we made lots and lots of apple pies for Purim. Some of you might have tasted the apple pies we made for Purim. So how did Rebbetzin make the apple pies? We bought stuff filling for the apple pies, and then she made bags and bags and pounds of crumb filling. And she made it days before Purim, she put it in the freezer, in a Ziploc bag. What happens when you have a Ziploc bag that's full? It spills. So you have crumbs in the freezer. That's not dirty. Crumbs that spill out of a Ziploc bag into a freezer floor, that's not dirty. And there, that freezer will gather together anything that's within it to join together to be a kazayas. So even if this crumb and this crumb and this crumb is smaller than a kazayas, but the freezer, since it's one unit, will gather, or a refrigerator, will gather all the crumbs in it to be joined together for a kazayas, and it's clean. So that is something that definitely does have to be carefully cleaned to make sure you don't have crumbs in your freezer or your refrigerator, which of course we all do take care of. Let's talk about another aspect of B'dikas Chametz. It's a very important leniency that relates to the story that I told you regarding the refrigerator problem that we had last week with the leak in our kitchen. So, let's start like this. There's a Mishnah in Pesachim, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, Chomesh Shenofla Alav Mapolis. There was an avalanche. I'll tell you like this. There was a bakery. And the bakery was in an earthquake, and what happened? The roof came tumbling down, right on top of the matzah, right on top of the challahs, right on top of the babkas, right on top of the cherry pies. So what do I have? I know that there's chametz there. I know that there's a lot of chametz there. I know there are big hamisha, you know, those bris challahs there. But it's underneath an avalanche. Says the Mishnah, Hareyu kemevuar. It is as though it is destroyed. It's already, you know, you did put your chametz on it already. So the details are a little bit more complicated. It depends how inaccessible it is. But that Mishnah teaches us a fundamental idea that any chametz that is inaccessible under normal circumstances, for normal reach, does not have to be cleaned. It is as though it is automatically destroyed. And therefore, in the case of the chametz behind my refrigerator, in the case of the chametz underneath your oven or in the back of your oven, those noodles that might have fallen, in the case of an Eretz Yisrael, they have aronot. They have cabinets that are not connected to the wall, that are just sort of standing, freestanding cabinets. You don't have to remove those or tilt them back or shift them to look behind them, because that is the same status as chametz shenafal alav mapolas, chametz that had an avalanche fall upon it, and it's inaccessible. Similarly, let's say you have toaster that you press down. Not the toaster ovens, but a toaster that you put the two slices in, you press down, and the chametz falls to the bottom. Now you have chametz there. You have a lot of chametz there. All the crumbs from the toast for the duration of the year. Could you get that chametz out? Okay, so you could turn the toaster oven over and shake it a little bit. Whatever falls out, falls out. What about the rest? Well, I do suggest you take this and you sell it. You put it with your chametz stick of kalim and you don't use it for Pesach. Of course, you're not allowed to use it for Pesach. It's chametz stick. But in terms of the chametz that's there, the actual particles that are there, well, you're not violating Bal Yira, Bal Yematzi because you did bittul. Is there possible you'll come to eat them? You can't come to eat them because you can't reach them. And therefore, there's no chiv to get rid of those crumbs in the bottom of the toaster oven. That is correct. That's exactly what we do. If I own chametz that I do bittul on my chametz. So all the chametz that I own, I don't violate Bayra Bayamatzeh. What's the problem? The problem is that I might come to eat it. It's locked up. So, I'm sorry? Why don't I have to sell it? The reason why I have to sell it is because we're not really sure that you did your bittul with full kavana. And therefore, we don't want to rely on the bittul. So you have to do bedika. That was a different sigur that we didn't get into. That's a bevatel tzarech sheyivdok. That's a different sigur. So instead of doing a bedika, I'm selling it to a guy. Okay. One other... Oh, very importantly, well, perhaps even the most important point, our laptops and our keyboards that have the crumbs in them. So, okay, everybody should turn their laptop over, their keyboard over, shake gently, not too hard, because otherwise you'll ruin the hard drive. But other than that, do you have to worry about those crumbs that you know are there? The answer is, since they're not accessible, you took care of your Yisur D'oraisa of owning chametz by doing bittul. And in terms of access, you can't access them. You're not going to come to eat any of those crumbs, even though they're clean. They're sitting there pristine, they're protected by the G, protected by the G key, or the Q, or the L, wherever it got stuck underneath. So, no problem, you could leave it there on Pesach. Now, I will grant you that the poskim do point out that wherever you know that there's chametz that you just can't reach, it is advisable to spray it with something foul to make it not so, you know, something moss that a dog wouldn't like. So therefore, let's say, for example, when I have my crevices in the sockets of my minivan, the bench in my minivan where it goes there, so I'll vacuum whatever comes out, and there's still lots of things, and I see it there. I see it, but I can't get it out. I've tried to get it, I just can't get it out. But I see it, I know it's there. So that would be a case where I have fulfilled my obligation. I don't have to get it. I see it could even be a Cheerio. It could even be a donut, a bagel. Bigger than a kezias, but it's inaccessible. It's just like the bakery, chametz shenafal alav mapolas. An avalanche fell on this donut, on this challah. There could be a challah stuck there, but I can't get it out for some reason. It's gigantic. I just can't get it out. So there, I don't have to do bedikas chametz. I don't have to get rid of it, but the poskim do suggest that I should take some, I don't know, deodorant, to take some Lysol, something that's not so healthy for even dogs to consume, spray it so that it's been invalidated from consumption, and that would be a lechatchila way to go about it. I want to finish off with another very important possibility that might make our lives a little bit easier. Where do I have to check and where do I not have to check? So, we have an attic in our house. I assume many of you have attics. And the attics, I assume you don't bring chametz up there during the year. So if you don't bring chametz up there during the year, you don't have to check it. So the Mishnah tells us, cited by the Shulchan Aruch, bodei kol mekomos sheyesh lachos shem hechnisu b'chavem chametz. If you took chametz in that location once this year, you have to check. If you didn't bring chametz into this location since last year, you are not obligated to check that location for chametz. But it's a little bit more subtle than that. Let's get into some subtleties. The Mishnah says that if you have a wine cellar, then you have to check the wine cellar. Because it's common for people to go down to the wine cellar in the middle of their meal with their bread. The way the Achron, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Renis and Karelitz apply that is any place that is normal for you to go during a meal, that's a place that you have to check for chametz. So let me give you a very, very specific example. The following example does not apply in any house that has children. But in a house that doesn't have children, the drawer where you keep your shirts or your blouses or sweaters, do you have to check that for chametz? Well, during assuming you don't hide your candy like my kids did after Purim, they wanted to hide their candy from us, so they put it in all kinds of frightening places. In fact, my son had a very, very brilliant way to hide his candies. He hid it in four different places throughout his room. And I asked him, where do you think of that? He said, well, we learned that by Yaakov dividing the camp. That even if one camp is captured, the other camp will be able to escape. So I figured out, even if you find one of my locations, I still have three left. If you find two, I still have two left. So it's hard to take it from me after that. But true story, just last week. So that's one drawer. You have a drawer with your shirts. Do you go to your shirt drawer during a meal? No. However, what happens if you have a drawer where the baby's shirts are? Baby gets dirty during the meal, baby needs a change, and you go change the baby in the middle of the meal. You have to put on a new shirt. Since a baby drawer, a drawer where the baby's shirts are, is someplace that you do go during a meal, you do have to check the drawer of the baby shirts. But the drawer where you keep your shirts, where you don't normally go during a meal, you do not have to check for chametz. That's a distinction that Ernest and Karelitz suggest based on the rules that we've applied of what places are normal to go. You need to, during a meal, that is necessary to check. So let's say your basement. You never go to your basement with chametz. But in your basement, you have all the cans. All the extra cans of corn and extra cans of beans and extra paper cups when you don't have enough room in your cabinet upstairs. That part of your basement, you go during the meal. Sometimes you need another can of tuna fish, another few paper cups. So you go there during the meal. So even though you don't have to check your basement, that part of your basement you do have to check. You don't remember bringing down chametz there. But since it's a place in your house that you go to during a meal, that location will be required to be bodek for chametz. Just to finish off with one point, and that is people going away for Pesach. People going away for Pesach obviously have to not own chametz wherever they are. So in order to not own chametz, they'll do a mechiras chametz, they'll do a bitl chametz, but there's another issue. They also have to make sure that there's no chametz physically where they're going to be present. But wait a second, if I have chametz in my house, and I'm going to Maryland for Pesach, so the chametz, my ownership of the chametz, I took care of. Am I going to come to eat the chametz in my living room or my kitchen if I'm going to be in Maryland? No, so there's no need for me to do a bedikah. So that's what many people do. Maybe Midrabban and I have to. So what many people do to avoid the situation of having to do a bedikah, if it's very difficult to do a bedikah on a house, is they simply rent out the house to a non-Jew, and they don't have the mitzvah to be bodek Because the mitzvah to be bodek is, well, there's nothing to worry about. They're not owning it. They're not owning the chametz. And we don't have to worry about they might come to eat it because they don't, they're not going to be next to the chametz. So therefore, they could simply exempt themselves from the chiyuv of bedikas chametz by renting their house to a guy. The Chasam Sofer says it's not ideal. The Chasam Sofer says, bedikas chametz is not just a negative, it's also a positive. What I mean by that is, the Chasam Sofer says, bedikas chametz is not just a way for you to get rid of your chametz, it's a mitzvah midrabbanan for you to do bedika. And if you're going to rent your house to the guy, and therefore opt out of doing a bedika, it works. You don't have to do bedika, but you know you just lost out. You just lost out on a mitzvah, drabbanan, that you had the opportunity to fulfill of doing a bedikas chametz. But what do you mean? If I have to do a bedikas chametz on my house, it's going to take me 20 hours. That's the whole reason why I'm going away for Pesach, because I don't want to have to do that. Says the Chasam himself, you know what you could do? You could rent 9 out of the 10 rooms to a guy. So you don't have to check that. You're not going to be there anyway, so not where you're going to come to eat anything. And you leave yourself one room. And you'll fulfill that mitzvah derabbanan of bedikas chametz in that one room that you left for yourself, that you still own, that you're still responsible for. And you fulfill the mitzvah of bedikas chametz on that one room. Which is why if you look at the shtar mechira, I have two shtars. I sell chametz for those who are traveling either east or west. I have a different because of the time zone difference. But for those who are away for Pesach, on my shtar, I have a small section that a person could say, I rent out my whole house to a guy so I don't have to check it, with the exclusion of the master blank, which I will check. The master bedroom, some other room. It's usually people who don't want to check their whole house. If you can, it's great. If a person can't check their whole house, then they'll leave one room that's relatively, that chametz was in it during the year, so it's obligated to check. But it's easier to check. It's easier to check sometimes a master bedroom, or sometimes an office, that to check a dining room, a living room with all the couches. That's the solution that the Chasam Sofer suggests. Tonight we mentioned a number of, leniencies, mentioned the fact that things that are less than a kezias, that are crumbs, that are dirty, you don't have to check. Things that are inaccessible, you don't have to check. But what we didn't point out, what we do have to point out, is that a lot of people in Klal Yisrael go overboard. And it's not a bad thing. Let me finish off with this Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes the Rush. And he says, Yisrael Kedoshim Heim. Yisrael are holy, and they scratch off chametz even from the walls of their house. Is it necessary? Probably not. Is it obsessive? Perhaps a little bit. But nevertheless, when it comes to chametz, the Rishonim tell us that this is called Yisrael Kedoshim. We can't make fun of people that do it. Those who want to clean more and be more careful and more careful, there's never enough. Obviously, you have to balance that with sanity and peace in the home and your own mental health. But in terms of the attitude towards chametz, is one that we try to uproot as everywhere we can. And we should all be zocha to a chag that will certainly be kosher, but also sameach and good yontif. And Hashem should help us fulfill all the mitzvahs of chametz and matzah and not violate any of the yisurim. And we should be zocha to a wonderful yontif. Thank you for coming. Kol tiv. Maariv is downstairs at 9:15.